Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So we see here the blindness that was talked about, that we had talked about previously, which is upon the heart of those that read and the eyes and minds of those who read the Old Covenant, that's the letter, and that don't understand it when it's applied to their heart. That those people are being past feeling. They don't understand what they're doing wrong. They're so past lawlessness that it seems normal. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness or to disgusting behaviors, to work all uncleanness, even with greediness. So not only do they just do it, but they do it greedily. They do bad things greedily. And uncleanness being defined by Scripture has several different meanings. Not only is uncleanness in the sense of doing things in the bed, or so to speak, like you would with an adultery or fornication or something like that, that's a form of uncleanness. But there's also the types of uncleanness that the Scripture teaches of that deal with what you should eat and shouldn't eat, what you should touch and shouldn't touch, and things of that nature. And that most all uncleannesses, with the exception of natural uncleannesses, things that come out of men and women that make them unclean, or touching dead bodies of men, and things that aren't really unclean in the sense of you want to do something God says not to do, but rather that you desire to be unclean in those ways for a greedy reason, a reason that is disgusting in your heart. In other words, if God says not to eat something because it's unclean, and you say, I don't care if it's unclean, I'm going to eat it anyhow, that would be a greedy lasciviousness. That would be a disgusting action. And while that seems like a petty thing, it also moves over into doing that which God doesn't want you to do in other things, in the sense of fornications and adultery. And it also would go into other things in the Scriptures that would make a person unclean. You can read that all for yourself. They're all throughout the law to understand what it's talking about. Paul says, we have not so learned Christ. We haven't learned Christ so that we can walk with empty minds like other Gentiles, giving ourselves over to uncleannesses and to having our minds blinded and our hearts blinded. But rather, he says that we were to be taught by him in the truth of Christ, that we would put off that conversation of the old man, the things which are corrupt, and that we can be renewed in the Spirit. That renewed man, or the new man, talked about in 24, and we could be, and this is what it says in Romans, it says that the inward man, the renewed man, is one that seeks after the law of God. And he's created it, here it says, in righteousness. Well, righteousness is only defined by that one thing, by the law of God. And in this sense, that we get that through Christ and only through Christ, so that we can have true holiness. So then we are also commissioned, wherefore by that righteousness, by becoming the renewed man under the renewed or the new covenant, the new man under the new covenant, we can put away lying, speaking every man truth, or speaking unto every man, I said amen, because that would be a literal translation, with his neighbor. We are members then one of another. That with one another, we are not to be angry, which by definition, the word angry is to be provoked to violence. Okay? This isn't talking about, oh, I'm mad, I can't believe that person did this to me. It's being provoked to hurt somebody, specifically violence. the type of anger being mentioned here. So, being angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil or to a false accuser. So all of those things have to be taken in their context also. Number one, we're putting away lying. That has a direct connection with this devil or accuser that we're talking, if you were to define Diablos and what it means. That we are to speak truthfully to every man, his neighbor. These are all things taught by the law, by the way. These are taught, this is the new covenant written on the heart. If we can keep in these things, then we will not be led into temptation to do bad things. And that we will sin not, or be angry and sin not. Now, it's not talking about the anger, like I said, of just being upset or being mad, but being provoked to do violence. Paul's not saying to the people, be angry. Like, go be angry, but don't sin, which is probably the common understanding of that. Because growing up as a kid, I remember in the church that we went to, a Pentecostal church, that people would say, well, you're allowed to be angry and sin not. That's fine. Well, you're allowed to be angry in general. You know, you're never allowed to sin, so it would not make sense that you can be angry but don't sin. That's kind of a no-brainer. You know, we know not to do that. But rather, he's saying not to even be provoked to violence. Not to sin. And to let not the sun go down upon your wrath so that it brews in you to want to be angry and which may cause you to sin. So if you are angry or provoked towards violence, that you're supposed to speak truth to one another and get it out of the way so that you don't have the sun go down on your wrath, which is normally what causes men to do violence. Neither give place to a false accuser or to the devil. Whether you believe that's a spiritual devil or you believe that that's a physical person, nevertheless, you should not give place to a false accuser. It doesn't really matter. You should not give place to someone who does not speak the truth. This will inevitably cause you to be angry and sin. So, to that person who is not true, you can be angry towards them. That's righteous anger. But don't sin about it. It's the best way I can explain what that is. It seems like it should be self-evident. That you can be angry, but that Paul's saying not even to get angry about it. That you should just deal with it. Deal with it as soon as possible. Get the anger out of your way so that it doesn't cause you to do anything wrong. He's saying, again in another recommendation, let him that steal no more. Rather let him labor working with his hands, doing that which is good to give to him that needs. So in helping one another, telling truth to one another, not being angry with one another, not sinning one towards another, not letting the sun go down on our wrath, not giving a place to false accusers or devils, but that we are also supposed to labor with our hands, work with our hands. I would even venture to say that people who don't work with their hands daily or work with their hands at some point during the week are probably not doing what's best for them. I'm going to come out and say it's a direct sin, but it would probably be a good idea for people to work with their hands so that he can help others. Also, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Communication is the way we act, not just the way we speak. So that's why he specifies not to let corrupt communication come out of our mouth. Now, this can be changed into meaning, you know, saying bad words that are common in society that people don't like to hear, especially in Christian circles, but that's not what it's talking about. It might make sense now in our day that that's what it says, but it's not what it's talking about. Rather, this is what he's talking about. He says, don't let corrupt, which is like a fleshly conversation. Corrupt is something that can die, remember? Incorruptible, corruptible, mortality, immortality. So corruptible is a thing that comes from one who is able to be corrupted. And communication is the way that they act. So don't let these corrupt actions come out of your mouth. Don't tell people about corrupt actions, things that maybe you had done in the past when you were the old man. But rather, that which is good and useful for edifying, for the ministry and grace to the hearers. So rather than explaining in detail how gross you acted once in the past, or the horrible things you did as a sinner, and dwelling upon them, rather, if you are going to talk to people that need to hear, that we are to tell them things that are incorruptible and things that are immortal, and explaining to them, even if you use those examples, well, once I was a sinner like this, putting the emphasis on Christ and what he's done for you so that it can minister grace, favor to the hearers. And then 30 is very important. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. 30 being why I say it's very important is because grieving the Holy Spirit, or denying the Holy Spirit, or some say blaspheming the Holy Spirit, is the unforgivable sin. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, that's the thing that seals you in the day of redemption. Blaspheming him is not a good idea. In other words, if you are forgiven of your sins on account of the Holy Spirit, when you blaspheme that forgiveness, you are not forgiven anymore. Don't do it. Bad idea. And then finally, he tells us, 31, that these things are supposed to leave us, including anger, which would tell us why we should not be angry and sin not. And he says these are to be put away from you. Put away is interesting, because that's the thing that was supposed to be done with the Old Testament, the letter of the law, the former thing that was glorious. It's supposed to be put away, done away, in Christ. That would be the wicked person, like Emma said. Be kind to everyone, and the rest of it should be self-explanatory. As Christ has forgiven us for God, then we should want to forgive each other.